Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the July 18th Aries Bifold Users Group Community Meeting. This meeting is being recorded, and as per Hyperledger policy, please note the community meeting policy and the Hyperledger Code of Conduct. Both have got up on my screen right now. Find the links there or by searching. So it's a small crowd today, which is fine. Move ahead anyways. So I don't think there's anybody on there who isn't well known to the community, so we'll skip introductions. You all know who I am. We can skip past that. I haven't got any really major announcements to make for Bifold other than a few things I'll demo. Keep in the recording for those who want to watch it later. But if anybody has any interesting announcements, please feel free to chime in. Moving on, bifold agenda. Not much to report on bug fixes, testing, and more bugs. Next sprint. Don't have too much to report on that one either. Going to be a quick meeting. React Native, that's being looked into by, I think, Alberto, who was on the last call. He can be found in Bifold and was going to take a look into that. So maybe we'll see what he's up to next meeting. Does anybody on the call that a curiosity, because it is a kind of an intimate turnout today, like most of us are from BC and Thiago from Brazil. I think I should pause these for August until people come back until in September. Usually we get about 15 people on here, like 12 to 15. So maybe everybody's holidaying for the summer.
Yeah, it could be summer holiday. Maybe just ask in Discord and see if people want to break a summer break or something.
Okay, so well,
Tiago, what do you think?
that's okay. I think the issues we're going to discuss. I think the only issue that I would like to discuss today is about LTA, because me and Akif were working on that last week and yesterday. And I'm heading to the final steps. I think I asked you today yesterday on Discord to publish another NPM package with some minor corrections on the OCA package, but important ones to keep compatibility with legacy code. And after that, there should be soon another PR to start using the OCA package in Bifold with the remote one also.
Love it. Using our own stuff. It's amazing. But yeah, I think I did publish that. I published them under the alpha tag at the moment. And this just follows the AFJ pattern. All these.
Yeah,
I remember you published that was on Friday, if I'm not mistaken, but yesterday I uploaded another corrections also. So
Got it. I will turn on auto publishing so you don't have to. Don't I think I maybe I turned it off just so we can see how the first few work. But whenever there's a change made to that package's OCA's hierarchy, it will automatically publish. So I will change that.
Nice, nice.
It'll just happen when a PR is merged.
Maybe I'll just give a quick clarification of who did what. So I initially I had contributed the classes and interfaces. Mustafa pulled in the resolver, the current one that's in Bifold. And then Tiago worked on actually implementing the remote resolver and then converting the what we call the legacy one with the new type. So most of the work has been done by those individuals. So when he says we were working on it together, I was really just doing code review and stuff like that. Most of the work has been done by Tiago here. So
yeah,
I think you can take most of the credit for that stuff.
No, you helped a lot. You helped a lot. So you're going to get credit for that too.
Thanks to you both. Okay, good. Well, looking forward to that. Like I said, I will turn on the auto publishing. It's a bit better. Anything we need to do, or is that just kind of moving along nicely, the OCA stuff, Tiago?
There are some changes to do actually, because the legacy bundle, it mainly used camel case on the attributes. And by the OCA specification from Colossus, all the attributes uses snake case. So there are gonna be some minor changes, but not that huge.
So I think just to clear up what we mean by legacy, so that would be the credential, the card layout 1.0. So that would be the one where the header had the side-by-side of the card name and the issuer on the header. And then, so that's what we're referring to as legacy.
Yeah.
And then the current OCA specification follows what's in the Aries RFC. So yeah, just so that people are aware of what that means.
Can we flag that bundle as duplicated, because that is not
a
standard.
So I think that's why we've referred to it as legacy for now, and I believe in the types we put a flag there that eventually people should be converting to using the RFC from that's in Aries.
Maybe something we can ask in Discord as well, Jason, if anybody's using that 1.0, or just Palacio vote for deprecate and remove that code.
Yeah, but I noticed last week on another conversation about Aries 0.4 that they were using a wallet to demonstrate the functionalities, and I noticed that they were using the old type of credential card. I don't know if there are many other people. I talked to my team and we are already using the new type of card, but don't know if there are more people using the old type one.
Yeah, I don't know. We can only ask, and if somebody raised their hand, we can leave a little bit longer and give them the heads up to move away from that. The FJ there, the I know Timo and teams, they're working on another wallet for their own company. So not related. So I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So you've called it OCA 1.0, we've called it 0.1, or you know, you can put in brackets maybe legacy just to indicate that it's not conforming to any spec. That was just what we initially had put in.
Yeah, that should be better.
What's the new one called? Has it got a version number?
So the type is, I believe, Aries / branding / 1.0. I think that's the overlay type that it's been given. So we're calling it 1.0. It was in the wallet, it refers to card overlay 1.1, but according to the spec, it's now Aries / branding. So like going forward, we're going to be probably going with that type. The one that's in the spec. I believe Tiago already has a draft PR to use the new package. So, I mean, I'll have some reviews to put in there for that. Just some, maybe some renaming and things like that. But maybe you want to talk about that or?
No. I created that draft one just to keep it on GitHub, but the intention is to start reviewing it. So first version, I think.
So I think, I guess once we've determined that it works in the wallet, then I think last time we had talked about possibly releasing this package as official 1.0. I think once everybody's happy with it, then I think, Jason, you might be able to just officially release it.
Yes, I can. Doing a release, I think, just means putting a tag in. A bit new to managing it with Lerna, but I think we're just going to tag it, and then Lerna will figure out that it needs to publish an official version without the alpha tag. So this will be our first run through, but yeah, I can do that. I don't have anything else to cover on OCA. All right, I'm going to switch screens for a second here, so hang on. So mostly for anybody watching the video, because I think anybody on the call knows this was a thing now. We've got iOS simulators working, which is great. I mean, it's great in that it whoopsie-daisy. It's available for doing UI work, but we can't use it because the camera doesn't work on iOS simulators, and that's across the board. It's nothing special to Bifold. So if you want to use it, it is quite handy for especially looking at two simulators, because you can run, well, I was running my device, but you can run your device and have a simulator going, and both will get fed updates from Metro. And it's great for doing UI work because you can see in real time what it looks like on two different devices. So super handy for that. We just have to figure out what it's going to look like for getting the scan button to work. And Thiago and I have a little chat, as did some of us from the BC team, that we're going to put in, probably under developer settings eventually, a way to turn this into... for fun, a way to put a little button in here that lets us paste in the data from a QR code if that developer setting's turned on, so that you can, you know, decode the QR, paste in the URL here, and just make it work, because you don't really have to scan overly often. It's no problem to really paste in data, so it should work okay. And then the iOS will be like pretty much functional. It might even actually be a bit faster than the Android, because you don't have to actually copy in that image, like copy it to the simulator and then start the camera. So maybe it'll be faster, maybe not, we'll see.
Another thing that it would be great to have this kind of button is because thinking about if you got an invitation by email, so you cannot scan your own iPhone, so a way to paste it would be great.
Yep, that's a good point. So you're thinking that it might actually make a good actual, like, keep it in production feature.
Yeah. Mainly thinking about the invitation sent by email, SMS, some kind of test. And
what? I'm not sure, because that's where the deep link would come from.
Yeah.
So, for instance, in the example that you suggested, isn't for development purpose. If you have a single web page with a the URLs for the deep link, you can test from that. So you don't even need to paste anything. That's the deep link. It's already there out of the box.
Yeah, it was more like an alternative for the deep link or universal links if we use the HTTPS.
Yeah, I the reason that I'm saying I'm not sure is because it might clutter the interface and the average user don't really know or care what that means. So it's just from a user experience perspective. I don't know if it makes sense. If they know how to use it. So again, we know how to use it. I'm sure the most developer will know how to use it, but I'm not quite sure that'll be valuable for the average user. And in the example that you gave about sending emails or anything like that, they will be using the deep link to enable that user experience, a better user experience. So you can use that one as well in the absence of having a camera simulator now. Just create a link.
So as per the note I just typed, we in BC are looking at some reimagining of the user interface so that it looks a bit better for tablets, like, for example, the buttons. These buttons go from end to end because they follow the iOS padding. Of
oh,
the
sorry. Where are you pointing at? We're looking
oh, sorry.
At the meeting.
Screen. Okay, back to the simulator. So we're thinking about redesigning some of these screens. Not drastically, just so they look a little better on tablets. So for example, these buttons. They have the padding that we use on the phone, which looks good when it's not too wide. Going edge to edge looks fine, but they look a little bit too long on tablets. And this is a mini you're looking at on my screen. I could imagine on something like a massive iPad Pro that button is overly long. It's already overly long, but it looks really overly long. So we're going to reimagine them, like change the padding of these. The graphic looks fine, I think, but you know, just some start chipping away at the look and feel of tablets so it looks better. And then of course we'll impact Android, which has always supported tablets because you can't turn that off. So expect some design changes coming down the pike for that. I don't really have too much to say about the iPad. We did make some minor changes to the size of the QR code. It was a bit big. You had to kind of really move back far to kind of scan it in your camera viewport. So that was one small change we made, and then a few fixes to these menu bars at the bottom. So that's all we've done on iPad so far. But yeah, we're working on some designs. And once those are vetted, like, I guess, in out of draft and we've got something more concrete, we'll share them on the Bifold call. That's a simulator, which is pretty cool.
Okay. I don't know if we have to syringe. Yeah, if we have time, I can talk about that one.
Yeah, I was just going to introduce it, Clessio, because I didn't know if you had time to do the demo, but maybe just talk about what we're planning. Go for it.
Sure. Let me just. It's the share button. Oh, I cannot share. Can you let me share? Maybe just a quick talk about it. I think. I'll ask a question. So, is everybody familiar with the concept of inversion of control and dependency injection? And I'll do a quick overview here. So the main thing that I've been thinking is like, how can we remove the static direct dependencies between two components? And that could be the dependence between a stack and navigator stack and the screens, between a screen and a button, between a screen and kind of a text, or any between a kind of a flow and a function that performs some significant work within that flow, and so on. So, for instance, if we think maybe a component is the onboarding carousel, you can think of about the dependencies of each page of that carousel being a dependency. So, I've been thinking about moving to a dependency injection framework, and I would suggest that we stick with the same one that is being used by FJ, which is tsyringe, which is it's still fairly popular in the TypeScript community. It's developed and maintained by Microsoft and so on. So the goal is to move from a direct dependency between two components to a indirect dependency. Which means, for instance, if there is a screen that has a button, that direct dependency to a button or a component doesn't exist. So there is a dependency to the API of that button that defines that interface of that button. That means the property, and I'll show an example. There is the properties or if it is a service, the method signature is what I've been calling an API. So an API can be is what defines a signature of that component. It could be type, interface, class, or whatever it needs to be. So component A and component B do not have a direct dependency. They have an indirect dependency. So the system is in charge of creating a map within components that it needs to register. And then a component A, a consumer, can then query that container to get the actual implementation. So there is a dependency to the API, no direct dependency to the implementation. So the implementation can be easily swapped on the fly. So this gives a few benefits. So one of them, we're going to enable a kind of a consistent pattern for overriding components and overriding functionalities, overriding screens or even navigators within the app. It decoupled the components themselves, make them very kind of a standalone, which is a good practice, and allow vendors, for instance, a BC wallet or any other wallet, to override whatever components they want to override. And it could be at a level that we introduce extension points. So for instance, the point that we say maybe a this button, there is a value on for teams, they want to customize that button or the logic behind the button. We then introduce that extension point, which means we move towards a dependency injection model. And this mapper bootstrap, it's done one bifold will provide what is the bifold implementation, but each application themselves, and I'll create maybe one example here, would provide their own mapper as well, inherit from or as a child of the bifold one. So if you have been using tsyringe, which means like this is a container, your application would be a child container of bifold, unless if there is other use case where you don't want to be a child container and you want to complete override and reuse the logic, that's fine as well. But usually I would say that the app will be a child container of the bifold container. Therefore, any token that is trying to resolve, if it hasn't been explicitly overwritten by your product, it will fetch the one provided by bifold. I'll show you a quick demo what that looks in code. Is there any comment or concern or feedback with this approach? As I switch my screen, I'll give you a minute to talk a little bit.
Well, I think we, yeah, so like, I think it's Indicio who prefer to have the app more chat focused. Here in BC, we're not quite there yet, using more of a traditional user interface. And we've, so there's some teams who really do want to heavily customize Bifold. And I think we recognize that it is getting difficult to continue with the current configuration override. Like it's not, it was fine when we had a few things to override, but as we add more override points to the app, it's getting a little bit unruly, that current pattern. So I'm excited to find out maybe a better way to manage that. That's not so unruly. If you look in the default config, it's quite extensive now. And it's, you know, as people find new business use cases to change the way the user interface looks or behaves, it does get a little challenging. So I'm looking forward to experimenting and seeing if this kind of makes our lives easier. And I think in the spirit of agile, it's, you know, when something doesn't work anymore, it's time to reimagine it. And then you try something, and if it works good, you try more of it. If it works less, if it doesn't work, then you try less of it. So I'm all in favor of doing that. Experiment to see how this improves our lives.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, so this was an issue structure that I've introduced as a configuration context, and it started with two or three, and now we are at, I don't know, almost, I don't know, 40s here. Different points that can be extended. This structure will get like bigger and bigger over time, and there's still not a consistent way of doing that configuration. So I'm proposing that we move towards a dependency injection model that provides that configuration, that extension point out of the box. And we still get to tell what is the, to define what is the granularity. I give example of a button. I don't know if we need to go far, to go down that far. But from a stack navigator, from a screen perspective, how do we pull things together into a screen? It might be valuable, but maybe a button, it might be the right solution as well. So I'll show an example. So for instance, let's say the pin create screen, it uses, there's a button here. So what it looks like going away from a direct dependency to a indirect dependency is that one, I remove that direct dependency to the implementation file. And now I'm proposing that we also segregate and separate the API from the implementation. And I'll show what that means. And then we introduce the dependency to the container API, right? So from moving to a direct dependency to a dynamic dependency with that dependency injection, the only part that we need is we clean up the direct dependency that are no longer needed, introduce it a container API dependency, and then we use that container API dependency to resolve a token. So the way that this syringe works is that all those different pieces and bits, they are tokens. We have to tokenize all those components, and then they get resolved to the right type. So I also was very careful with preserving the returning type of that component, so that again, if for developers to keep up the developer experience and TypeScript validation of typing and so on, so that is a good developer experience. So nothing else changed in this case. It's just was just only those one, two, three, four lines. So one line has been changed, one line has been added, and those two added to resolve that button. And what that allows is anyone who want to work in their own wallet, they can provide their own system design, their own button, the way that they define a button, for instance. This is kind of what I proposed as well. So I mentioned that in order to keep as well that in the spirit of keeping the API and the implementation separated, I suggest that we separate as well physically in different files, one for the API and one for the implementation. And in this case, the API is the button type, the button props, and kind of the typing of that button definition. That's what kind of that's what get I pulled that out and move into that API. So now we have the button props, button stage. Those are new things that I'm also working on. Button type and the button definition itself. The container API point of view is just define all the tokens that the system defines and understands. And the mapping for TypeScript validation. So it defines a mapping as well that this component is mapped to this type and so on. So that's what the container API is about, is define those tokens, define a context for application to leverage, and the mapping of the token to the class or interface type or whatever it is that needs to be returned. I did, this is where for me, for again, academic purpose, I separate into like screen tokens, stack tokens, I don't know, create function and service. I think those two are probably the same, and component tokens. So we don't necessarily need to separate them out in different enums or different prefixes or anything like that. But I was just experimenting with that. And what I did is I created a number of enums that are different by component types-ish. And then I just mix them all together in one big kind of enum-like. One, and I'll show another example, for instance, from the onboarding, actually from the root navigation stack. I've removed the direct dependency to the onboarding screen. I've separated that out into its own component. And now there's no direct dependency. That component get applied here. There is a dependency to, I don't remember if I turned this into an API. I don't think I even, there's not even needed to import the API if I'm just using that. So I resolve the token and then I apply that token. So that means now any wallet who wants to completely rewrite that onboarding experience and they don't like the carousel, they want to do a vertical horizontal scrolling or whatever it is, they can completely define their own. So that's the API. The implementation side, that's where Bifold would be implementing the container. So and the application as well would be overriding those tokens, those points, which mean Bifold is defining that the screen for terms and condition is implemented by this it has this implementation. The onboarding, that implementation, the stack is that implementation, the button is that implementation. And I, just an example here, for instance, what happened to function or the service after I finished the tutorial and I click complete, what does that function do? I will pause here for comments, feedback, good idea, bad idea. That work for you. Or was I being me on mute the whole time?
Oh, we heard you loud and clear. Yeah, I think it's, I like it. I think it's worth trying because we need to try something else other than continuously adding to that config. And stuff will shake out there. Maybe it'll be too complicated. Maybe it'll be just perfect. So I think we have to try it and see how it actually works out for us. And try it. For anybody listening, we talked earlier, I mean, earlier as in earlier in the week for BC, about trying some of the things that were in the config already. So, you know, like Klaus, you said, button may not be on that hit list, but we'll start with something like the terms of service or the onboarding screen, which is something that most people will want to override when they fire up their own version of Bifold.
Okay, so I will propose a PR introducing some small changes, so the button might not be there. Again, this is just for a PLC point of view, and we go from there. I think we're going to need to define a naming convention for those files if we're defining API and implementations. I don't know if anybody has any suggestion or opinions about it. How do we define? Do we keep them kind of a side by side? In this example here, the default implementation itself doesn't change, but there is a new API file, or do be explicit, there is implementation and APIs. I don't know.
Can they be the same file? Just sometimes I find it easy to like if I'm developing and I want to work on the connection screen, I'll just, you know, hit Command P, open up the connection file without kind of navigating. So if we have a lot more files, it might be more cognitive load for a developer to figure out like where stuff is hiding. Where do I need to go to make a certain change? Or kind of like the same problem you have with C++ is, you know, you're doing half of your work in a header file, well, like a quarter of your work in a header file, but then you actually do have to switch to a different file to do your implementation. And nobody loved that, which is why Java kind of stuck everything together.
So can it be on the same file? Yes. Problem with that is that it creates that direct dependency that we're trying to avoid and enable maybe the accidental dependency to the implementation class. So I don't know. So the separating the files, it creates that stronger line. Potentially the API itself could evolve to be its own package once it's super mature enough. But I would say that separating the API and implementation different files, it's really about also introducing some good practice of separating your API for implementation.
Got it. Okay, well, like I said, let's try and see what happens.
Not to put you in spot, Tiago, but do you think that would help in the wallet that you guys are creating? Because I think where we're going is that we're starting to see, again, which is good, but sometimes we're starting to see some divergence on, for instance, design, like an item should be on the left and I want it to be on the right, and some components a little bit more than the theming part, and that would enable all the different providers to kind of override and being more opinionated about it.
I think that approach is great because thinking in our wallet here, for example, the terms screen, we had to override even the navigation, the root stack. Yeah, the root stack. We have to override it because we had another screen after the terms. We have a terms and another policy, something like that. I don't remember exactly. But if we have a way to inject the navigation, for example, we could get a lot cleaner code there. So it opens a way to expand the experience, way better way to expand it.
Awesome. Okay, so we'll be introducing, or I'll be preparing a PR introducing this change. So there is no new dependency. Again, we're already leveraging the same tsyringe framework used by AFJ. So it's not a net new dependency. We're just bringing that dependency at the top level now, but it's not a net new dependency. Okay, thank you. I'll pass back to you, Jason.
Thanks, Clasio. Okay, then show my screen. Okay, good. I think that covers all of the topics for today. You can do some freestyling. If anybody's got something new they'd like to chime in about, feel free. A minute or two for that, and then a moment or two for that. We'll wrap it up. For anybody who joined late, we are considering pausing these for August just because usually we have 12 to 15 people on the call. It seems a bit quiet today. Maybe a lot of people are holidaying, just generally, I don't know, probably holidaying over the summer. So we thought we might put a pin in the next two meetings and then reconvene in September. Everybody's done holidaying by then for more action. So I'll mention it in Discord, see what if anybody chimes in and thinks that's a great idea or not so much. But yeah.
So thank you, everyone.
Yeah. That's it then. Bye, everybody. See
Thanks,
you online.
Good point.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Bye.